Psalms 119, we thank Brother Anderson for reading those passages for us this morning, where we will be taking our lesson from. The verses were that he read were verses 11 through 18. Let me just read beginning at verse 15 through 18 again for emphasis sake as we begin our time of exhortation and study of God's word. The psalmist says in verse number 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 18 says this, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I might see, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want to talk this morning from the subject, the wonderful word of God. It is evident from the writings in the Psalms that the author had great respect and he realized the importance and he appreciated the word of God. It's significant to note that in this division of Psalms, that is 119, which is the longest recorded Psalms, and it's the longest book by way of verses. But this particular division has 176 verses, and all but five of those verses include references to the Word of God. When you read it, you'll notice words like law, precepts, commandments, statutes, testimonies, judgment, ways. All of these have reference to the Word of God. So again, out of 176 verses, 171 of them has something in it referring to the Word of God. This tells me then that God's Word had great meaning in the life of the psalmist. It would be great if everyone had this attitude toward the Word. In verse number 18 again, he wanted to behold the wondrous things out of the law. What an attitude. I want to see, I want to behold the wondrous things out of the law. What is it then about the Word of God that makes it so wonderful? Well, this morning I want to consider a few things in my mind that makes the Word of God so wonderful. Number one, the Word of God is so wonderful because it came from a wonderful and a great God. And anything that God has to do with is great and is wonderful. Psalms 48 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. God is a great God. God is a wonderful God. He is so great, and he is so wonderful, until there is no God like him. Isaiah 44 and verse number 6. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Oh yes, they had their little gods, their idol gods, their false gods, but there is no true God beside the great and the awesome God Almighty. In Psalms 45, in verse number 6, he says virtually the same thing again. He says that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. God is a great God. He is a wonderful God. He is above all others. No wonder he is a jealous God. We know what jealousy means, don't we? We don't want anybody and anything taking our place. And God is a jealous God. When he said to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 2, he said, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." God says, "I'm the one that brought you out of the land of bondage. I'm the one that sent the 10 plagues that ultimately would result in Pharaoh letting you go. I'm the one that parted the Red Sea. I'm the one that rained down manna from heaven and drove up birds in the evening time so that you could have something to eat. I'm the one that kept your clothes from wearing out for 40 years. I'm the one that did all of those things for you. So because I am that God, then thou shalt have no other gods before me." Why? The Bible goes on and says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am but a jealous God." I'm jealous. Don't you have no other gods before me. God is above all. And again, there is no creature on earth. There's no creature in heaven that is equal to God Almighty. And so God is a great God. He's a wonderful God. And anything that came from this great and this wonderful God has to be wonderful itself. I'm talking about the wonderful Word of God. And so the word came from God. We remember what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Scripture came from God. The Word came from God. The law, the testimony, the judgment, the statutes, all of those things that are talked about in Psalms 172 in those 171 verses. They all came from God. And so they are great. They are wonderful. The Bible says this in Psalms 126 in verse number 3. And of course, this is talking about God delivering them from their captivity. But the same thing can be said about the Word of God. It says, "The Lord has done great things for us." And when the Lord gave us his word, that was a great thing that you and I can have in our lives that came from God. So, God's word is wonderful because, number one, it came from a wonderful and a great God. Not only that, but I'll submit to you this morning that God's word is wonderful because it enlightens our eyes. It enlightens the eyes of everyone who seek the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word, it giveth what? Light. And it giveth understanding to the simple. So God's word then enlightens us. If it were not for God's word, we would always be in darkness. We would have no avenue of getting out of that darkness. But because of God's word provides for us, it supplies for us light so that we can see what we need to do to please our Heavenly Father. We are made aware of our sinful state because of the word of God. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Is the word of God sinful? He says, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. What are you saying, Paul? Paul is saying that the word of God, the law of God, enlightens my eyes. It lets me know when I'm doing wrong. And not only does it let us know when we're doing wrong, but it lets us know when we're doing right. So again, he says, I wouldn't have known that I was sinning unless the law had said that. If we don't have a speed, if you drive down a road, 100 miles, and if there is no speed limit there, you've never been on that road before, you will never know that you're speeding except the speed limit would be put there. Now, you're still speeding, but you just don't know it. And the next verse tells us something along that line. In Romans, not the next verse in Romans 7, but in Romans 12, look at what the Bible said. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. You hear that? Until the law, he says, sin was there. But sin was not imputed when there is no law. So you're still speeding. But if no speed limit sign is on the road, and if that road is 100 miles long, the man can't give you a ticket. But you're still speeding. So before the law came, the Bible says, sin was still there. But it was not being imputed until the law came. So again, if it were not for the law, we would know, and were not for the word of God, we would not know what an awful condition we were in. Man had fallen short of the glory of God. Man was guilty of sin, but sin was not imputed until the law came in and said, thou shalt not covet. So the word of God then enlightens our eyes, and it causes us to see the state that we're in. And we know again that sin brings forth death. And who wants to die eternally? Nobody wants to die eternally. We want to one day see God's face in peace. But if we keep on in our sinful ways and we do not turn from our sins, then we're going to die eternally. Listen to what James says in James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14. He says this. He says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away after or of his own lust and entice. And the next verse says this, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. And he's talking about eternal death. So we don't want to die eternally. Therefore then, we ought to be thankful this morning that God has given us his word, so that we'll know when we're doing wrong, and we ought to have the wisdom to do what's right in order to get out of that sinful state. You see, sin is a great separator. We know how Isaiah says it. In Isaiah 59 and verse 1 and 2, he says, "Behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that they cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." He said, "But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Sin is that great separator. Sin keeps us away from God. And when we are in our sins, then we have no chance of having the fellowship with God. And so we need the fellowship with God. Therefore, we ought to be glad this morning that the Word points out to us when we have sin. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin will keep us out of heaven. Therefore, we ought to be thankful that our eyes can be enlightened by the Word of God. So the Word of God is a wonderful thing because it enlightens our eyes. Yes, indeed. In the Word of God, we find the remedy for our sins. And that remedy is Jesus Christ. It's spoken about in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes you healed. All we," the book says, "like sheep were gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's the remedy. The remedy is the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to get out of our sin. We're going to have to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross. But how do we know that? We know that because the Word of God teaches us that. Therefore, the Word of God is a wonderful thing because it gives us the remedy for our sins. It was provided by the grace and the mercy of God because God did not want not one soul to be lost. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9 teaches us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to make it over there and live with him eternally. But you know, we're going to have the wisdom to follow God's plan for making it over there. And God's plan is to repent, to turn away from our sins and turn to his will and live according to his will. All of that happens because we can read in God's word. That's what he wants us to do. That makes it a wonderful thing that God gives us the remedy as to how we can get out of our sins and live eternally with him. I hope and trust this morning then that we will have the wisdom to do what is necessary to escape the punishment of sin in our lives. Repentance and conversion is necessary. Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshment shall come from the presence of the Lord." So we must repent. We must turn from our sin. We must be converted. And then we must live as God has directed for us to live. How do we know that? Because the Word of God teaches us that. It's a wonderful thing for God to teach us what we're to do to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Those on the day of Pentecost, they realized that they were in a terrible shape when Peter preached to them that first gospel sermon. In Acts chapter 2, and verse number 36, the Bible says that this same Jesus whom you crucified, the Lord, the Bible says, has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, What shall we do? Peter says, repent, change your mind, turn from your sins, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Yes, that's the remedy for getting out of the sins. And the remedy, once we get out of our sins, the remedy then to stay in fellowship with God is to keep walking according to the Word of God. John said it like this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, he says we lie and do not the truth. But then verse 7 says this, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It keeps on cleansing us from all of our sins. That's the remedy. That's the plan. How do we know that? It's found in the Word of God. So that makes the Word of God a wonderful thing. Because again, it enlightens our eyes to what we are to do. To be right with God the first time. And what we are to continue to do. To continue to be right with God throughout the remainder of our days. That comes from the Word of God. That comes from God's law. That comes from God's testament. Testimonies, rather. It comes from God's statutes. That comes from God's judgment. All of those things that are referred to in the book of Psalms. Thank God, then, for the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing. But then also, it's wonderful because it brings great blessings to those who walk according to the Word of God. And those blessings are both spiritually, which are the most important blessings, of course, and also physically. God's Word, when one adheres to the Word of God, great blessings come to that individual. Listen to what the wise man Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not some of your heart, but all your heart. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You may be smart, but you ain't smart enough. You may be intelligent, but you're not intelligent enough in order to figure out what God wants you to do to please him. So he says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Verse 7 says this, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. All of the nutrients that we need to make us what we ought to be comes from the Word of God. Health to thy navel. We know what the navel, what's the purpose of the navel, especially when the child is in the mother's womb. That umbilical cord, a cord I should say, supplies the nutrients that are necessary to keep that baby alive. God's Word is the umbilical cord that will supply us with the nutrients that we need to keep us alive spiritually. And to do what God would have for us to do. So it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. But all of that comes from the Word of God. And he'll reward us for our faithfulness to his will. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. What is he saying? The Hebrew writer was saying to those Hebrew Christians, stay with Christ. Don't turn away from Christ, because God is faithful. That promise. God is still faithful. That faithful God that was in the lives of the Hebrew Christians, he's still faithful today. If we stay with his word, if we stay with Christ, if we keep on walking in the light as he is in the light, he will reward us because he's a faithful God. I'm saying God's word is wonderful because it brings great blessings to those who walk according to it. So again, he blesses us spiritually, but he also blesses us physically. And that's what he was talking about when he had the conversation with his apostles in Matthew chapter 6. We know the story, I'm sure. And when he was encouraging them not to be so anxious, not to worry so much about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, what they were going to put on. He says, what you need to do, if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, then all of those things will be supplied. He was talking about the physical necessities of life. So when we do God's will, we don't have to worry about eating. When we do God's will, we don't worry about having something to put on. When we do God's will, we don't have to worry about any of these physical necessities. The Lord says, I'll make sure that you get them. You may not give them to me, but somebody will. I may not give them to you, but somebody will. If we are faithful to the Lord, because remember the scripture says, he's faithful that promise. So Jesus wouldn't tell his disciples a lie. Jesus said, if you do my will, I'll make sure that you have what you need. So again, God's word is wonderful because it supplies great blessings to those who walk according to it, both spiritually and physically. No wonder the psalmist could say in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What you going to want for if the Lord is your shepherd? We don't have no reason to want if the Lord is our shepherd. If he is our God, if he is our Savior, he will make sure again that we don't have to want. So again, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another translation of that verse says, the Lord is my shepherd. He has everything I need. Thank God that he has everything that we need. But you know how we find that out? It's in that book called the Bible. It's a wonderful book because it came from God. It's a wonderful book because it enlightens our eyes. It's a wonderful book because it supplies great blessings to those who walk according to it. Yes, indeed. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, he said this. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your needs. God will not leave out not one of our needs. He will supply all of our needs, he says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we need to just trust God. We need to do the will of God, and he will make sure again that our needs are supplied. Yes, indeed, there are great rewards, there are great benefits by walking according to the will of God. And when we walk according to the will of God throughout the remainder of our days, you know what we're going to be rewarded with? Heaven. The same thing that Enoch was rewarded with. He was rewarded with heaven. To walk with God means to do God's will. Look at what the Bible says concerning Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says this, and Enoch lived 65 years, and he begat Methuselah. And the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. That's a long time to walk with God. And to walk with God means you agree with God. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch was doing the will of God as he walked with God. And all the days of Enoch again were 365 years. And the next passage says this, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. In other words, he did not die. For God took him. God took him. Why? Because he walked with God. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8 says this. But the word of the Lord. Hebrews 11. It says that by faith, Enoch walked with God. Well, that talks about Abraham. It should be 11:5. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says he did not see death, for he was translated. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, when you walk with God, you're pleasing God. I would encourage all of us to make it our aim, our goal, our objective to please God. And you can't please God unless you walk with God. God gave us his book so that we'll know what to do in order to walk with him. So again, I say to us, there are great benefits and great blessings, both spiritually and physically, comes to those who walk according to the Word of God. Lastly, this morning, the Word of God is wonderful because it provides salvation to those who obey it. It's God's power to save. The gospel, which is the Word of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, the gospel is preached by the word of God. So Romans 1 and verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then the next verse says this, for therein the gospel, therein the word of God, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel then is God's power to save. So when we obey the gospel, when we do the will of God, then God will save us. And who in this assembly this morning, who do not want to be saved? Every one of us want to be saved. But you got to obey the word of God. And you know, everybody ought to love the gospel, which is the word of God. Everybody ought to love the word of God. David loved it. We ought to love it too. Psalms 119 in verse number 97, David says, oh, how love I thy law, O God. It's my meditation all the day long. Those that truly love the word of God will obey the word of God. You can't truly love the word of God without obeying the word of God. How do I know that? Because it's revealed in the Bible. Jesus says it like this in John chapter 14 and verse number 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he drops down in verse number 21 and notice what he says. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Verse 23 says this. Verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Did Jesus lie? No, he didn't lie. Jesus said, if you truly love me, you're going to keep my word. What does that say about one who does not keep his word? It says that that person doesn't truly love the Lord. So we can say we love the Lord all we want to. But if we're not doing the will of the Lord says we don't love him. And it's impossible for him to lie. I can lie. You can lie. They can lie. All of us can lie. But the Lord can't lie. The Lord says, if you love me, you're going to do what I say. So I want to say to us this morning again that we need to truly examine our love. Ask ourselves the question, do I really love the Lord? When the Lord says forgive, if you love him, you're going to forgive. As hard as it may be, you may have to say, like Peter said on one occasion, Lord, increase our faith. But we're going to have to forgive if we truly love the Lord. If we can't forgive, then they don't love the Lord. And the Lord says, give. When you don't give like you're supposed to, You can say that you love the Lord all you want to, but the Lord says if you don't do what I say, you don't love me. Yes, indeed, one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord in the judgment, and we'll have no argument to put up because the Lord knows us. He knows us. Yes, indeed, we can't fool the Lord. Those who truly then love the Lord will obey the Lord. And I tell you one other thing before I go to my seat. The one who truly loves the Lord is going to meditate on the word of the Lord. Meditation is all about contemplating, if you will, considering deeply what the Lord says. We can't just skim over the word of God. We got to really take into consideration what God is saying to us in order that we might really get in tune with the word so that we can get in tune with the Lord. The psalmist said it like this, Psalms 1 and verse number 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. Now, if we're not giving any serious consideration to the word of God, we don't really delight in it. If we delight in God's word, and I'm trying to encourage us this morning to come to the point where we will truly love the word of God, have a delight for the word of God, because we know what it does for us. So the psalmist says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law does he meditate day and night. He's thinking deeply about what God's will is for his life. God said to Joshua this in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, you notice what he says? When you do this, then this is going to happen. If you meditate on the word of the Lord day and night, and then you do according to all that is written in the word of the Lord, he said, then. We're trying to get to then before we do the this. We got to do this before we can get to the then. So he says, you meditate. And then you do, or you observe. And then, he says, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. There is value in meditating on the word of God. And again, unless we really think deeply about what God's will is for our lives, we'll end up doing perhaps what he says, but not like he say do it. When we do what he say, without doing it like he say doing it, we might as well not have done it, because our hearts are not truly in it. So again, we can't just skim over God's word. We got to think about it, ponder it. The psalmist said on one occasion that I will muse. I lay on my bed and muse over your law. Yes, indeed, we'll be much better people if we would truly give some serious meditation to the word of God. So again, the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse number 18, he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Do you view God's word as being a wonderful thing? I hope and trust that all of us realize how wonderful the word of God is. So as I close in this morning, we can't thank God enough for his word, because without it, we'd have no guide of how we're to live and what we're to do. We'll be wandering aimlessly through this world, as the phrase of a song says, like a ship that's tossed upon the sea. We'll just be bobbling and drifting, not knowing which way to go without the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to have the Word of God. If you're here then this morning, and you realize from the Word of God, even as I've spoken this morning, that you may be in your sins. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time, that by that I mean have not heard and believed the gospel, Acts 15:7, repented of your past sins, Luke 13:3, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and have not been baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and you have not been added to the Lord's church, the church of Christ, Acts 2:47, you're still in your sins. You need to receive with all meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You need to come this morning and do those things that are necessary so that the Lord will add you to his church. Becoming a member of his church, then, you need to walk in the light as he is in the light. So if you need to come this morning and be baptized, let the Lord add you to the church that you can read about in the New Testament. That's the one he's coming back to save. You want to be in that one, walking according to his will. So if you're not a member of the Lord's church, I want to encourage you to come. You're already a member, but somehow you're not walking according to the will of God. You're messing up in your walk. You're going away from God. You're doing your thing. You need to come this morning and do God's thing by being faithful to him according to his word. So if you need to come this morning, we beg you to come. And maybe you're here this morning, you just need prayer. For some reason in your life or in the life of someone else, we encourage you to come. Whatever your need is this morning, while we're standing and while we're singing, will you come? Say.